One of the difficult things about climate change is that it is not a single event or set of events, so it can be hard to conceptualize what kinds of actions can be of help, the things we can do to change the trajectory of the Earth's climate. Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, SOCAN, works to keep information and options in front of the public. One of SOCAN's programs is training for Master Climate Protectors. It sounds like Master Gardeners, and that's no accident. Let's find out what Master Climate Protectors do. We have two guests with us. Vanessa Ogier is a Master Climate Protector, took the course last year. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange, Vanessa.
Thank you. Good morning.
We also have with us Louise Shawkat, who was an early board member of SOCAN, is off the board now, but teaches the Master Climate Protector course. Louise, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Thank you.
I guess we'll go to you for the origin story then. How did the idea for Master Climate Protectors come about in the first place?
There was an original course. I think it was at Willamette University, and the information was online, but it was not active, and they offered their materials. You could use them. And that was, we knew about it. Kathy and I knew about it, and we put it to the side because we were not ready for it.
This is Kathy Conway, the co-coordinator.
And then after a couple years, Kathy said, "What do you think? Is it time to go?" I said, "Yes." And then that's what happened. Kathy is a retired professor, and she's familiar with developing programs, and she took the spearhead. And then we have a team of there's four of us, five of us. There's a team of five of us, and we met weekly to develop the program over a course of many months, and then we had the trial one, and we learned a lot from that. And then we repeated it with the improvements that we made. But we make improvements every year because the students, they provide a lot of good feedback for us.
What's the basic goal then? I mean, what were you trying to set out to do when you first created the Master Climate Protector situation?
There are two basic concepts. One, to know what the science is, the real science. And the other thing, what do you do with the science, and how can you change your behavior and make a difference? And for the individual, the changes that they make are individual, and they apply to their own personality and lifestyle. There's no set, this is something that you need to do. You choose what works for you.
Is there a list to choose from, in a sense?
Well, I think Vanessa can answer that.
Okay. Let's talk about what appealed to you about the Master Climate Protector Program, Vanessa.
What appealed to me is the basic science understanding and the conversational aspect of it. The teachers do a really great job of breaking it down in a way that you could sit with family and friends and have this conversation much easier than before taking the course. And to address your question about how you can fit it into your own life, we actually participate in a carbon footprint calculator where we can take aspects of our life that play into the climate crisis that we face and how we can adjust them accordingly based on our personal lives, which was really enlightening for me personally.
So it's not quite like Master Gardeners or Master Recyclers in the sense of it's less about the things you're doing physically than about the things you have in your head and are prepared to discuss with people.
It's a really two-pronged approach. It begins with the basic understanding of the science, and it ends with what can you do to help make this world a better place through your own actions and collectively.
Master Climate Protectors are what we're talking about here on the Jefferson Exchange. You can join the conversation as we talk to Vanessa Ogier and Louise Shawkat. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So talk about the science, because you had mentioned, Louise, that this changes over time, but I'm just curious to know what's the basic core of what the Master Climate Protectors are taught now.
I would say not so much that the science changes, it gets enhanced, but first you learned what the scientists are thinking, and then you learn and find out about people that do not accept the science and what their theories are and whether their theories are valid and measure up to science.
And so what has that been like as you try to carry that out in daily discussion? How have you used the Master Climate Protector training you got when you're out in the field or just meeting up with people, Vanessa?
They did a really great job of helping build community. Through the 10-week course, there were several times where we were able to work in groups of 4 to 5 people to brainstorm on things and talk about the issue of that day of the class. So it really helped give us that conversational building skill, I would say, going forward, talking to people. You hear a lot of people in the community reverberate misinformation that they've heard for decades on the climate crisis, and it's really nice to be able to address those in a thoughtful way.
What's the basic nugget you start with? What's the first fact you deliver above all others?
That climate change is real.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It really depends on a case-by-case basis. Everyone kind of has their own take on it. I would need a specific, I think, to
okay,
but
I guess that. I guess the first set of numbers that somebody would ask about, it's like, well, how do you know? You know, so what would be the indications that you would deliver to people and say, this is how we know climate change is real?
I understand. Just the basic concept of Earth has already warmed just a little over 1 degree Celsius since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. And the climate models that were predicted back in the 60s and 70s are actually very accurate to today. So we can use that going forward, that climate models into the future have the potential to be extremely accurate, if not too conservative.
What's the biggest bit of misinformation? You mentioned dealing with the things that people learn that are not correct. And what is the one that tends to get chucked at you the most?
I think the one that I hear the most often is that the climate has always changed, that our Earth has always participated in cooling and warming trends. And I think the most important thing to know about that is that, yes, our Earth has experienced cooling and warming trends. That is true. But we need to look at the amount of time that those changes have occurred. They often occur over millennia, whereas now we're experiencing that warming in just a few hundred years, which should be really startling to anyone that understands that.
So the compression of the timeline is one of the bits of evidence you're using there.
Absolutely.
Louise Shotgun, how hard was it to devise a program? I mean, you mentioned having a Willamette University program that you could model this after, but
we didn't use a lot of the information that they had. We made it into our own. It was a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of work. And every meeting we had an agenda of items that we had to complete. And it was just like developing a college course or a high school course, any course. It took a lot of time and effort. Yes.
And the first time you did this was in 2017, and there were two courses that first year?
Yes, there were. Uh-huh. Yes, yeah. And we decided that we learned so much from giving the pilot that we wanted to use all the changes that we made in the next course, get it under our belt.
Kind of get used to it and feel like
yes.
you had your legs under
yeah.
you. Okay, so a second course in 2017, and then one course a year, 2018,
yes.
2019,
right.
and one coming up fairly soon?
Yes, yeah.
When is that one coming up?
The next one is February the 10th, which
okay.
is a Monday night,
mm-hmm.
and it's 3 hours from 6 to 9 at the Heck Center at the RCC.
Okay.
I'd like to add to what Vanessa talked about is that over the course of the last year, we developed what we call a cheat sheet,
mm-hmm.
and it's the size of your business card, and it's a fourfold, and it has information on each side, so that a person, for instance, I can take it out of my wallet and say, here's a graph, and it shows you what's happened since the early mid-1800s and how it mimics the rise in temperature and carbon dioxide, greenhouse gas output. And also it talks a little bit about what SOCAN can do and what a person can do. My approach often is, what is it that you care about? And then I link on to that. What is it that's most important to you? And is climate affecting what's most important to you?
And what do you find the answer often is?
Nature.
Mm-hmm.
Nature, yes.
And people notice changes there?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you tweak the course from year to year, how much do you find there's new information in the conversation? Not even necessarily the scientific stuff, but the refutation. It seems like every political year, for example, every election year, this is one obviously, there are new sets of arguments about, oh, no, it can't really be true because, for example, you know, the satellite information we have about the Earth's temperature doesn't match up with what the scientists are saying, things like that.
Well, I think they only have to go to NOAA, which collects all the satellite information, and just see that those arguments don't pencil out.
So, Vanessa Ogier, talk about the places where you've had a chance to use your Master Climate Protector training.
Oh, man, every day. Mm-hmm. Really, every day. I actually have taken the service component and kind of ran wild with it. And I have traveled twice to lobby in Salem for House Bill 2020. I have participated heavily in fundraising for the No LNG campaign and also participating in the protest at Governor Brown's office, which I think is the service component is one of the most important because you have all of this knowledge of the climate crisis and you feel a little riddled with that. So actually acting and providing service to your community provides a lot of relief and you're also making a difference.
We're talking about Master Climate Protectors here on the Jefferson Exchange with Vanessa Ogier, who took the course last year. Louise Shawkat teaches it. She's was a board member at SOCAN, Southern Oregon Climate Action Now, which offers the Master Climate Protector training program. Join us on the exchange. You might have questions, comments. Join us by phone at 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org.
I'd like to add something.
Yeah, go ahead.
A couple years ago, what became more obvious was that there is a certain amount of psychological impact with climate change and that there are more and more people feeling depressed about it. And as the course progressed through the years, that was a component that we had to address, felt we needed to do that. So that is something that has changed over the past couple of years. For instance,
mm-hmm. And aside from the ways in which the climate protectors then would deal with this with the people they're talking to, how did you deal with it in training this into the climate protectors?
Well, first of all, you mention it mm-hmm. because within the class, it isn't mentioned, and then you bring it up during, like I brought it up during lifestyle changes, and then you notice that the classmates, they start talking about, yes, that they do feel some changes in their psyche because of how they're worried about climate change and that not enough is being done.
How tricky does it make it that this is very political now, and it has been for a long time, that it's not just a matter of what you think about the Earth and its processes and what has happened to those processes, but it's also something of an article of faith for political parties. I mean, how directly do you go after that in the training of the Master Climate Protectors?
We sometimes do skits, and the teachers do a skit and over a certain topic, and that models how one can try and have a conversation with someone that is not thinking the way you think, not that it has to be rammed down their throat because that's not the object of it. Does that answer your question?
Up to a point. So let me hear from Vanessa about the conversations you've had like that. I mean, do you seek out people who you think may be doubters of the climate science?
I will absolutely talk to anyone who will listen to me and who is interested in listening to me on the topic. Touching back to what you said, Luis, you really have to bring it to a personal level with people and just kind of reduce the bipartisan or, you know, the partisan nature of the conversation and just bring it down to, do you like skiing? Do you enjoy rafting on the river? Do you enjoy eating salmon? You know, kind of have that personal conversation with people, because when you talk about the coral reefs or the Arctic ice sheets, it's really removed from people's reality here in Southern Oregon. But when you bring it local, I think it really resonates with people in that way.
So pursue that a little further then. For somebody who says, yes, I do like skiing. I'm up on the mountain a couple times every winter. What do you say to them about climate?
From there, you can actually just lay out the fact that we are, with climate models, we are projected to have less snowpack every year, warmer winters, and more rainfall to the point of actually producing floods. So we're projected to move away from the really strong snowpack that we're used to in Southern Oregon, to the point where actually those winter sports may be a thing of the past.
Are you able to rely upon local figures, like point out, for example, when Mount Ashland had no season within the last decade?
That's a great point. Exactly.
All right. So you do bring other stuff into the conversation. I mean, it evolves. The program evolves.
It does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the recent headlines about what's going along on the coast with the crabs.
Oh, yes. With the the shells are thin because of ocean acidification. Yes.
And the first thing I went to was these people, that's their livelihood.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Fishing and crabbing, and it's disappearing.
So the challenge for people like you, Louise, who designed the curriculum for the Master Climate Protector Program, would seem to be to try to figure out, with all of the stuff that comes in all the time, how to limit the list, I would think, to make sure that you're making the key points without flooding people with information.
Well, I think we kind of flood.
I think the students welcome it also.
Yeah, you mentioned, Vanessa, that you get kind of filled up with the information when you were in the training.
Yeah, I would say so. If you're paying attention, it's hard not to. The teachers do a really great job of making sure to touch on every aspect.
You took the course, obviously, because you cared, but was there a moment within the training when you went, wow? I mean, was there anything there that particularly blew your mind, things that either you would have to accept yourself or get other people to listen to?
If you're looking for a figure that startled me, there were several.
Mm-hmm.
I think one that really stuck with me was, I don't remember the exact figure, but during the agricultural class, we learned that some scientists are saying we only have, I think it's 60-something harvests left of topsoil in the United States, which was really startling because that is within my lifetime. I'm only 27.
Okay, so yeah, 60 harvests would be within your lifetime. So the February 10th training for this year, is there still room left in it, Louise, do you know?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yes.
How many people can you train at one time?
20.
And it goes on for one evening, or is it extended?
Oh, no. It's a 10-week course.
10 weeks, okay.
Yes.
10 weeks. Okay. You mentioned the 3 weeks on the 3 hours on the first night, but
right.
All right, 10 weeks. So then it's starting February 10th. It is SOCAN, Southern Oregon Climate Action Now. The program is Master Climate Protector. Louise Shawkat is one of the people who teaches it. Vanessa Ogier is one of the people who took it. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.